This is heading. It's God's plan, and it begins right here in the book of Genesis. But along the way, we are examining the lives of these men and their families, and we're learning some lessons. Now, wouldn't you say that Abraham's life has to be one of the most inspiring accounts we have in all of the Scripture? I mean, I think so. You read the life of, we study the life of Abraham, and Abraham, what a start. He's in a wicked country, and God just comes out of the blue and says, I'm calling you to go somewhere. I've got a plan for your life. I want to send you to this land. I want you to step out by faith. And man, we studied the life of Abraham, who from the beginning to the end was a faithful man. Were there mistakes that he made along the way? Was he always perfect? No, he was not always perfect, but he was a faithful man. And in the Bible, we studied the life of Isaac just a little bit. And Isaac's life, in my opinion, is really a great tragedy, because in many ways. Because Isaac's life began with such a promising start. Do you remember when Abraham sends a servant to get Isaac's wife, and Isaac and Rebekah, they begin this wonderful life together. But what we saw the last time we were together in the previous chapters, we saw Isaac's faith and Isaac's family just begin to unravel and just fall apart. So that by the time we come to Genesis chapter 27, we're going to look at Jacob and Esau. By the time we get to Genesis chapter 27 tonight, this chosen family is a dysfunctional family. It's come very far. It's come very far from where God intended it to be. And we're going to see the life tonight of the beginning of the life of Jacob, who we're calling the pretender. Jacob the pretender. So what I want to do is I want to read this account, and I'm going to make comments along the way. Some of them will be like points, others will just be observations. So there's no official blanks to fill out, but if you want to take some notes along the way and you're keeping track with the series, I wanted to make sure you had something to do that with. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll begin our talk tonight on Jacob the pretender. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that we can gather tonight. I pray that you'd help me as we study the Bible. I pray that our hearts and minds would be focused on you. Lord, I pray that you'd help the congregation, help us all to listen, and help me as I present the word. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The name Jacob, what does it mean? Who knows? What does the name Jacob mean? Supplanter, or deceiver, or trickster. Some of you kids might remember a couple weeks ago, they had one, Isaac and Rebekah had one kid named Red and Harry, and another kid named Trickster. Well, isn't that a great way to go through life? Hey, Harry, get over here. Hey, Trickster. I mean, what are they doing? They're prophesying on their kids here. But Jacob, why did they call him Trickster? Why did they call him deceiver or supplanter? What did he do? Do you remember? A little bit of trivia from our previous ones. I saw it. This is a hint. The raised hand is actually a hint. What did he do? And they're like, we're going to name him supplanter or deceiver. Or what did he do? Yeah, he grabbed Esau was the, they were twins, Jacob and Esau, and Esau is coming out of the womb and Rebekah's giving birth, and Jacob reaches his little hand out and he grabs a hold. And he's like, no, wait, I want to come. And right then and there they said, oh, you little trickster. And he was named the supplanter. But sadly, that carries out into the character of his life. But what's encouraging in all of this is while Abraham's a good example of someone who God calls him as he's an adult, he walks faithful. Isaac's a good example or a sad example of someone who just really squanders a wonderful heritage. Jacob is someone who does not have the best, most promising start in life. And Jacob's somebody who's going to find himself in a lot of trouble. He's going to find himself in a mess of his own making. He's going to find himself as someone who is offended, who someone does wrong against him. He's going to find himself the victim of tragedy and heartache. But God's grace is never going to leave Jacob. And God is going to do a work of grace and restoration in the life of Jacob. So that's what we have to look forward to. But we get some warnings as we begin. Jacob's life is really a life that's going to be built on a charade, on pretending, You know, I thought about that. In the world that we live in, all around us, people spend a lot of time pretending. Don't they? People spend a lot of time pretending. People buy fancy stuff so that they can pretend to be of a certain social level. People go on trips or they do different things, sometimes just for the pure enjoyment of those things, but sometimes people do things to pretend. And the example is used way too often, but where you see lots of pretend just manifested today is on social media, right? If you go on Facebook, there's a lot of people that, what happens on social media is we like to present the best parts of us. Now, hopefully, sometimes we're honest, we're transparent, and we're real, and we're genuine. But there's a lot of pretending that goes on. But sadly, you know, sometimes people even pretend in the church. You know that? Sometimes people pretend to be a certain way, or they think that in order to be accepted, in order to be the loved or cared for, that they have to behave a certain way or look a certain way or act the part. But the wonderful thing is that God sees us for who we are. And that should be both a sobering thing for us, but it should also be an encouraging thing for us. It should be a sobering thing for us to say, you know what? I can fool my parents, I can fool my family, I can fool my friends, but I can't fool God because He sees my heart. He knows who I am. So I should stand in the fear of God and say, whoa, I can't pretend with God. But also, I should be encouraged to say, you know what? I don't have to pretend with God. I don't have to measure up, so to speak, because God's love is unconditional. Yeah, does He expect things of me? Of course He does. But as we'll see in the life of Jacob, His grace, His mercy, His love, and His acceptance is always there because He accepts us not on our own merits, not on our own goodness, but He accepts us on the basis of Jesus Christ and what Jesus has done for us. So let's get into the Bible here tonight, and let's look at this life, and let's learn from this life of Jacob. It came to pass, chapter number 27, verse number 1, it came to pass that when Isaac, now get the picture here, he's sitting down somewhere probably, and Isaac was old, and his eyes were dim so that he could not see. He called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, my son. And he said unto him, behold, here am I. And he said, behold now, I am old. Anybody in here ever felt like saying that before? Behold, I am old. Probably not. I don't see anybody like that. But it says, I know not, he says, the day of my death. Now therefore, take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field, and take me some venison, and make me savory meat such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. So there's Isaac, right? He's gotten really old, and he's like, well, sonny, I can't see anymore, and I can't really hear you very well anymore, but I can taste that good meat, all right? Go out, you kill me some venison, you bring it back, and I want to eat that. And what does he say, though? Something, there's a problem, there's a big problem that's about to take place. He says, if you do that, he says, I don't know when I'm going to die. Another little bit of trivia. Was Isaac near death at this point? He wasn't, actually. It's amazing. We're going to read chapters and chapters and chapters and chapters, and years and years and years and years are going to go by, and he's still hanging around. This guy Isaac is actually quite a ways from death, and he was just an old man for a really long time. So he says, here's what I'm going to do, my son Esau. Here's what I'm going to do. I want you to go get me some food. I want you to cook it up. I'm going to eat it real good. And then I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. Well, what's the problem with what's about to happen? Who's supposed to get the blessing? Do you know? Jacob is supposed to get the blessing. Esau's the older sibling. Jacob's the younger sibling. So in the land of the East in these days, it was customary for the oldest son to get all of the blessing. But when they were born, it was prophesied that it would actually be the younger son that God would give the blessing to, and that God had chosen that. But remember, this family's a mess. Mom has picked Jacob as her favorite son, and Dad has picked Esau as his favorite son. So the problem is, Isaac says, you know what? Whatever, I'm going to bless you. This is just what I want to do. And they just start living totally out of the will of God. So this is a big problem. But verse number 5, it gets worse, and we're going to see what a mess this family is. Verse number 5. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, so now Jacob's over here. And Rebekah says, behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, bring me venison and make me savory meat that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence 2 good kids of the goats, so 2 young goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father that he may eat and that he may bless thee. That he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, this is, I think, one of the funniest stories in the Bible. And he says, behold, Esau my brother is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. He's a hairy guy, I'm a smooth guy, and my father peradventure will feel me. Come here, let me feel you, boy. And I shall seem to him as a deceiver. And I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me. So he does. He goes and he gets the goats. He went and fetched and brought them to his mother. And his mother made savory meat, such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. Like, I know I said this a couple weeks ago, but what kind of a hairy person is this? That they, anybody ever pet a goat before? So they kill these goats, they skin the goats, and so Jacob comes up to his mom, and he's like, all right, I got the meat here. She's like, well, I better dress you up, and I got to make you feel like your brother, so come here. And she puts the hair of the goat on his neck so that when his father feels him, he'll be like, hairy like a goat, that's my son. And put it on your hands. Hairy like a goat. That's my son. And so this is the plan. Why have they concocted this plan? They've concocted this whole plan. They're putting on this whole pretend show so that they can get what? The blessing. So they can get the blessing. And they might get the blessing of Isaac, but whose blessing are they not getting? This isn't how you get God's blessing. And I thought often a life that when we start to, as we heard this morning, where yeah, we can draw near to God with our mouth and our lips and we can say the things of God, but our hearts really be far from him. It begins, I would submit to you tonight, and this would be something to jot down if you are taking notes, that a life of pretend or a life of hypocrisy or a vain Christian life, it doesn't begin with telling a lie as much as it begins with believing a lie. With believing a lie. You see, Jacob and Rebekah thought that the path to a blessed life, the path to a good life, the path to the life of success and prosperity, they thought that they could manipulate that. They thought that they could do something to achieve that on their own. They thought that they could concoct a plan and they could do things their way. And it didn't matter anything else, nothing else mattered, but they could get God's blessing on their terms, so to speak. And I think about this story and I think, you know, where is the faith in God? Where is it? It's not there. To say, well, your father your father Isaac is about to make a big mistake. This isn't right. But where's the trust in God? Where's the act of faith that says, God, I don't know how you're going to work this out. I don't know what your plan's going to be. I don't know why you're allowing the circumstance, but I'm going to trust you that your way is best, that your plan is perfect. But sometimes when things don't make sense to us, when we can't understand the way that things are going to go, when it doesn't add up according to our calculations, instead of stopping and waiting and standing still, like we talked about last Sunday morning, actually, instead of standing and waiting on the will of God, what is our first reaction? Well, what am I going to do? How am I going to act? What is my reaction going to be? And so they began this life of pretend. He begins to doubt the plan of God, and he lies to himself. And really what he does is he begins by believing a lie that he could have the blessing on his terms. And so they carry out this lie. And the consequences are going to pile up. Verse number 18. Or verse 17. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, and you can imagine him disguising his voice a little bit. And he says, my father. And he said, here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I mean, he's going, he's fully committed to this charade. I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac, things aren't really adding up at first to Isaac. He says unto his son, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, now this is shocking. And he said, would you read the next part out loud with me? And he said what? Because the Lord thy God brought it to me. Whoa. I'd be like waiting for the lightning bolt right then and there. Right? What does he do? He justifies and he spiritualizes his living lie. And he profanes the name of God, and he brings God into his deception. No fear of God before him. And you and I had better be careful, because what happens sometimes in our lives is we've been around enough. We know how the things we're supposed to say and the things that we're supposed to do. And we better be careful that we do not, and we wouldn't outright say it. We wouldn't go out and sin and say, we wouldn't say, well, I made this choice and I'm living this way because God told me to do it. Okay? I hope that we wouldn't be so bold as to do that. But we do say different things, don't we? We say things like, well, God understands why I did this. I know what the Bible says. I know what the plan of God is, but you've got to understand. You've got to understand what these people did. You've got to understand what they're about to do. You've got to understand the circumstance I found myself in. You've got to understand the family that I come from. You've got to understand this. You've got to understand that. This is why I did this, and surely God understands. And what we really mean by that is God's going to excuse this. God's just going to kind of look the other way at this. Is that how it works? No, not at all. Not at all. It doesn't work that way at all. And fortunately and thankfully, God is a gracious, and in this case, God is a merciful God. That even as Jacob would bring God into his own sin, and bring God into his own transgression and his own lie, God's still merciful, and he withholds his hand of judgment. But Jacob will pay the consequences for this. How is it that thou found it so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord thy God brought it to me. Verse 21. And Isaac said unto Jacob, who he thinks is Esau, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. Yeah. And Jacob's like, knew this was going to happen. So he comes up and he walks. Can you imagine how Jacob's heart must have started pounding? You remember when you were a kid and you thought, I am about to get caught? All right? Hopefully. Or how about this? When you drive around the corner or over the hill and there he is sitting right there and you're going 75 in a 60 and the hair on your neck starts to, or you start to feel a little warm and you're like, and you're looking in your rearview mirror, like, is he coming? Is he coming? Is he coming? And you're just hoping that he doesn't, that feeling that you get. There's Jacob. There's Jacob. And he's like, here goes. This is it. This is it. Am I gonna get in trouble? What's going to happen? And Jacob went near unto Isaac, his father, verse 22, and he felt him face to face, like cheek to cheek almost. Okay? Hands around his neck, hands on his arms, and is he going to pass the test? And Isaac says to him, he says, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And Jacob steps back, and we all know any human reaction. Jacob steps back, and as quietly as he can, he goes, what? Oh, I got away with it. I got away with it. What? I got away with it. And he's going to receive the blessing. Let's never, never ever mistake the withholding of God's judgment. Let's never mistake the mercy of God for the blessing of God. We serve a merciful God that even though time and time again, we get away with it. And the worst thing that can happen, teenagers, I'll tell you something, the worst thing that can happen to you is you sneak around one time and you'll get away with it. You go on the internet, you go where you're not supposed to go, and guess what? Nobody sees it. Do you know what that does? That opens a little door. And I'll challenge all you parents. I won't get graphic or explicit or anything, don't worry. But I'll challenge you. Did you know what the average age that a child is exposed to all the stuff, we'll just call it that, that a child is exposed to the filthy stuff that's on the internet? Do you know the average age? Studies have borne this out. Fifth grade. Fifth grade is when a child is first exposed to that. So we ought to be on guard against that, because you know something? When people, it's not just teenagers or children, it's adults too. When we get away with things that we think, hey, nobody saw, no immediate judgment, no immediate consequences, that's the most dangerous thing that can happen to us in our life, because what happens is we continue to live a lie. And every next day has to protect the last lie that we told. And the last thing that we covered up. And the last thing that we had to keep hidden from somebody that we cared about or somebody we knew. And here Jacob is, face to face with someone who loves him. Face to face. And he lies, and he gets away with it. And this is the beginning of his life as a pretender. I tell you, if you are a teenager in this room, if you're a husband in this room, if you're a wife in this room, and you've got secrets in your life, you've got hidden doors and hidden rooms and hidden compartments in your life, I tell you, the hardest thing for you to do tonight will be to go home and for your wife, for your husband, for your mom, for your dad, is to open that door and to say, there's a secret area that I've been pretending and I've been covering, and I need to let you know about that today. That'll be the hardest thing you can do. But the harder or the worst consequence would be to keep it hidden. It will build, it will build, it will build, and you'll find your place in a darker, worse, and worse place. I talked with somebody not long ago who told me about living that way for quite a few years with their spouse, and how it was amazing the freedom and the peace that they found when they opened that closet door of their heart and they confessed. And they said, I've been pretending, I've been lying, but I need to be truthful with you right now. Were there serious consequences? Were there awful consequences? Oh yeah. It was rough. But that person today is close, by their own testimony, would say that they are closer to God than they have ever been at any other point in their life. Because God knew all along, but they had to spend their time pretending. And sadly, that's the life of Jacob, the pretender. Don't play games like that. Don't pretend to be so close to someone and to lie right to them. Yet you and I, if we know God, we're so close to God, and sometimes we even lie to the Holy Spirit when He speaks to our hearts. So the story continues, and everything seems to work out. He gets what he wants. His father Isaac, verse 26, said unto him, come near now, kiss me, my son. And he came near, and he kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, and said, see. A statement that should put guilt in a person's heart. See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore God give thee the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee and blessed be he that blesseth thee. There's Jacob and he receives this blessing. And you know, his heart is so far from God. Can you just imagine? Oh yeah, God, the Lord, the blessings. Just give me the good stuff that I want. Just tell me how great I'm going to be. Just tell me how wonderful I'm going to be. Just tell me about the money I'm going to have. Just tell me about all the people that are going to have to listen to me. Just tell me what I want to hear. But in the meantime, Isaac is speaking about the Lord and the blessings of God. And all of the things that Jacob is disregarding, all of the things that Jacob doesn't care about, those are the greatest blessings he could receive. Even if he didn't, and God said he'd give him the other blessing, but even if he didn't receive the land, and even if he didn't receive the dominion, and even if he didn't receive the power, and even if he wasn't rich, he could still have the grace of God shining on his life. He could still enjoy the presence of God. The greatest blessings. Verse 30. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac. You talk about a close call. Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. I mean, there's the tent. And Jacob said, okay, the blessing. Yep, bless me. Okay, getting out of here. And no sooner is Jacob going out the front door or whatever, but Esau's coming in the back door. And Esau comes in right behind him. And poor Isaac is just all confused. Jacob was scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. Verse 31. And he also had made savory meat and brought it unto his father and said unto his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac's like, what? Isaac, his father, said unto him, who are you? Who art thou? He's like, you know I can't see, but I think I've still got my mind about me. Who are you? And he says, I am thy verbatim. Did you read it up above? When Jacob said, he says, I am your son, your firstborn. In verse 19, Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. He says down in verse number 32, and Isaac says, who are you? And he says, I am thy son, thy firstborn, Esau. Same thing. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly. And he said, "Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it to me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed." Verse 34. "And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry." I don't think we don't get, because we don't have these customs. But this was like the pinnacle of his life. This was like the moment of moments in Esau's life, to receive the blessing of the firstborn son. Now, we know he was a profane person anyway. Years earlier, he sold his birthright. Now he doesn't care about that. Nonetheless, the feeling and the pain that he feels is just as real. And he cries out. And he says, "Bless me! Bless me, even me also, O my father!" And Isaac replies, "Thy brother came with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing." And he said, "Is not he rightly named," go ahead, "Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, as I mentioned a minute ago, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing." Is he not rightly named Jacob? He's taken away your blessing, Esau. He's taken away your blessing. I tell you, one of the greatest tragedies in this whole story, the goodness is that God is gracious. And God is going to call Jacob back into faithfulness. But none of the lies that Jacob told could be untold. Right? Do you see where I'm going with this? None of the hurt none of the hurt that Jacob caused by his life could be undone. God can still work, but the consequences of this life of lies and pretend and make-believe, it will be there. And I'm thankful for the grace and restoration of God. And I don't intend this statement to make anyone feel guilty for their past, because that's under the blood. But I would say this to challenge young people or believers. We carry the name of Jesus before the whole world. And when we live hypocritically, when we wear the name of Jesus, but live that life in a dishonest way, and we put that out there for the whole world to see, we do harm to souls. You know, Esau will never find true repentance. The New Testament teaches us that clearly. Esau will never come. Now, does Jacob bear the sole responsibility for that? No. Of course not. Every man stands before God. But what a shame for someone who would later bear the name of Jehovah, bear the name of God, to have caused such hurt in the life, in this case, of a family member, but of a person who needed to experience God's love. So, again, it's always good to see we have a good group of young people out on a Sunday night. And I'd say to you teenagers in school, that your friends, they know you're a Christian. They know that you go to church. But what do they see in your life? Will the things that they see cause them to want to... I'm talking, please. I'm talking right to you. Will they see in your life Christ-likeness that will draw them? Or sometimes, do we make those decisions and do we participate in those things that would cause them to say, "Boy, that's a Christian? Why would I want that? That's a child of God, why would I want that?" When we're in the workplace, or in business dealings as adults, whether it be a contractor who does work for us, or someone that we would owe money to, or when we do things not honestly, but we bear the name of God. It's good to come and sing praises. Bless the Lord. We sang this morning, "Oh my soul, bless the Lord." We can sing all that in church, but does our life offer that, or do we sometimes rob the blessing of God from other people's life? Isaac said to Esau, "He's stolen your blessing." Let's be a blessing. Let's never take the blessing away. And Esau says, "He isn't he rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright. Behold, now I've taken away my blessing." Verse 37, Isaac answered and said unto Esau, "Behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants. With corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son?" And Esau said unto his father, "Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, "Behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth, and the dew of the heaven from above. And by thy sword shalt thou live, and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck." Verse 41, "And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, 'The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob.'" What has happened here? What a mess. What a disaster. And these words of Esau, verse 42, her elder son, were told to Rebekah, and she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and she said unto him, "Behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice, and arise, flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran, and tarry with him a few days." And tarry with him what? A few days. It would be far more than a few days. "Until thy brother's fury turn away, until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which thou hast done to him. Then I will send and fetch thee from hence. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day?" Sadly for Rebekah, this is not how it was going to happen. "This happy return in just a little while, and I'll see you again, my son that I love." But a life built on lies, a life built on charades, a life built on pretending to be something we're not, it never, the lies just don't work out the way that they're supposed to, or the way that they think that they're supposed to. "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." It wouldn't end up the way that they hoped. Verse 46, Rebekah said to Isaac, "I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these, which are the daughters of Laban, what good shall my life do me?" Verse 1, "And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him, and charged him, and said unto him, 'Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father. Take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother.'" And God Almighty bless thee, and make thee fruitful, and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. And Isaac sent away Jacob, and he went to Padan Aram unto Laban, son of Bethuel, the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob and Esau's mother. Could you go back with me to verse number 3? And just read those 5 words with me out loud, if you would. Verse number 3. first five words begin. And everybody together, ready? Verse number 3, chapter 28. And God Almighty bless thee. I want to just finish with this. I was going to read more of the story, but we're a couple minutes before time ends tonight. So I want to finish with this. The good news in all of this is, despite his lies, despite his dishonesty, despite all of the grief that Jacob had caused for other people, guess what the will of God was still for Jacob's life? To be what? To be what? One word. Yeah. To be blessed. To be blessed. What astounds me is Jacob doesn't even get it yet. In fact, next week we'll get to the end of this next chapter, and he's going to make this bargain, this deal with God. He's going to say, well, God, if you do this, then I'll do that. And that's part of playing a pretend life too. But he's going to say, God, he doesn't know who God is. He doesn't understand God. He doesn't even understand the blessing of God. But his father pronounces these prophetic words on him, though he doesn't even get it. Jacob leaves hearing that there is still the possibility for the blessing of God on his life. Don't you want the blessing of God in your life? But what's going to happen to Jacob, he is going to receive the blessing of God. But do you know how it's going to happen? It's going to first come through some purifying. It's going to first come through some difficult time. It's going to come through some times of the deceiver being deceived, of the liar being lied to, of some labor, of some toil, of some tragedy, of some heartache. So what's going to happen is that by the end of Jacob's life, he's going to be a weary, broken man, but he's going to die a blessed man. And I want to encourage everyone in here tonight, you could be, I tried to give a warning before, to say that if you're here and you have hidden sins or hidden areas in your life that are you think shut off to the whole world, listen. The best thing you can leave here tonight knowing is that God wants to bless you. But he's only going to bless you, and he's only going to bless me on his terms. According to his plan, and as we humble ourselves. That's why he said that God resists, that's why James says that God resists the proud, but he gives what? He gives grace to the humble. Jacob's going to go through some humbling. How much easier would this all have been? If Jacob had come clean? So many opportunities to come clean. With his dad's hands on the back of his neck, with his dad's hands on his arms, he could have said, no, I can't go any further. I can't do this anymore. I'm ashamed to tell you that I've lied to you. Boy, he would have experienced a flood of grace at that moment in his life. If he went to his brother Esau and he says, I've sinned against you. I've done wrong against you. And he humbled himself. Boy, what grace he would have experienced at that moment. It would have just rained down on him. So, I would challenge you tonight. Keep going on about this, but do you have secret closets in your life? Do you have secret rooms, secret doors that nobody's opened? The best thing you can do to receive the blessing of God is throw the doors open. Is let them know. Let your parents know. Let your husband know. Let your wife know. God already knows. Confess it to him. And live a life honest before the Lord. And then let's let the rest of us always have an attitude of restoration. Always say, you know what? I will, if my spouse, if my children, if my friend, if they come to me humble and broken and they confess something, God, give me the grace to receive them like the father received the prodigal son. To receive them with love and with compassion. Brethren, if a man be overtaken with a fault, ye that are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Confess your faults one to another, that ye may be healed, James said. Let's learn that lesson from the life of Jacob.